Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Biz Talk. We're really happy to have you along this morning on this bright, cheery, sunny Saturday morning. My name is Tony Bush in the studio with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony. Another one of those beautiful fall days.
It is.
Just quick reminder, this is the last time to go to downtown farm market. So if you're looking for something, get out there today.
Yep. We have a great show for you this morning. Our guest is Kurt Haling. Kurt is one of the owners of Albertson Haling CPAs, and Albertson Haling CPAs is a sponsor of Biz Talk, so we're happy to have Kurt here this morning. We're going to be talking about some accounting information and budgeting and things, but we're going to be spending a lot of time on Obamacare. And Kurt has learned some information about Obamacare, and he'll be mingling that together with accounting and helping business owners plan for what's coming. So if you'd like to hear a down-home local interpretation of Obamacare, stay tuned, and we'll give out the phone numbers. And we'd urge you to call in with some questions to ask Kurt this morning. But first, we'd just like to tell you about the SCORE chapter, which brings you the show each weekend. SCORE is a national organization. We have one chapter located here in the Fox Cities. We actually serve an eight-county area from Appleton down through Oshkosh into Fond du Lac. And what SCORE does is we have volunteers who will work with those who'd like to start businesses or who are in business to help them succeed. And our experts in the SCORE chapter are mentors who have experience in marketing, information technology systems, strategic planning, HR, accounting, cash flow, banking, all those things that business owners really need to know about as they venture out and want to become successful. We recognize that business owners are very good in their trade, but they don't always know the financial stuff and the marketing stuff behind it to help them grow and make their companies more successful. If you'd like to know more about what the SCORE chapter can do for you, please contact us at foxcities.score.org. Once again, that website is foxcities.score.org, or you can call us at the Chamber office in downtown Appleton. That number is 734-7101. In addition to doing the mentoring, the SCORE chapter also conducts many seminars, and we just concluded a five-part series called Simple Steps this past Wednesday, and we had a pretty good turnout. We don't have another seminar scheduled for the next few months, do we, Randy?
Right. And right now, it looks like our next upcoming seminars are going to be starting probably in February. Again, we're putting the calendar together right now, which is one of the things if you're listening out there and there is a specific topic that you would like to have a seminar on, probably 3 or 4 hours, please let us know. You could give us a call here at the show, or you can give us a call at the SCORE chapter and just say, hey, I'm looking for information on marketing. I'm looking for information on insurance. I'm looking for information on any specific
topic.
You
can also email it in at foxcities.score.org as well, right, on the contact button.
Right.
We'd be happy to hear from you. Now, we do have a scam alert.
We're always working with the Better Business Bureau here in the Valley, and they just came out with a new one just to bring you up to date. One of the newest things now is hijacking your business name. Con artists are going out. What they're doing is they will go out, take your name and information, and place orders in your name, have the merchandise sent to a different location. They get the merchandise. You get the bill. So if for some reason you see a request for information about your company from someone you're not doing business with, you receive a billing for something that you did not order, or you see requests for information about sites or locations that aren't yours, and yet someone is saying, well, I saw that this was your address on your website, be very careful. Go out, double-check your websites. They're picking up the information off of that. Any invoices that come in, be sure to check them. And if you have any problems or any questions at all, get a hold of the Better Business Bureau. They will direct you on how to protect yourself from these scams.
Yep, they're very important things to watch out for. And I know a lot of business owners who start out small and they become pretty big companies. They can become $10 and $20 million companies. But the president still opens all the mail and the president still writes all the checks.
Right.
And what two great strategies to keep track of what's going on in your company.
Yeah, because if you get so big that you don't know where it's going,
right.
and that's your money,
right.
You're putting yourself in a real right. dangerous position.
Got a money conference coming up?
Speaking of money, yeah, we have the 11th annual Fox Cities Money Conference coming up on Saturday, November the 12th. It's going to be held out at the Fox Valley Technical College. And this program is designed not just for adults, but also for young people mm-hmm. to learn how to handle their money, how to build good credit scores, various things, family programs as far as handling money. It's going to be, as I said, out at the Fox Valley Technical College from 8:30 in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon. Very inexpensive for the day. For adults, $7. Youths on the day would be only $3. They also, for those of you with families, and they're going to be able to provide child care for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to take your family and really learn more about how to handle your money
yeah.
and what to do, because most of the time money does not come with an instruction kit.
And I would imagine buried in that seminar, that conference, is some good information on retirement planning.
Yes.
People have to do more of that today.
Yeah. In fact, our member, Mr. Mao Nguyen, mm-hmm. will be one of the speakers in the afternoon at this particular program.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, just a reminder, that's the 11th annual Fox Cities Money Conference. For more information on that, you can go out to www.assetbuilders.org. That's ASSETBUILDERS.org.
And what date was that again?
That's going to be on November the 2nd, Saturday, starting at 8:30 in the morning.
That's next Saturday. Okay. Well, thanks, Randy. We're going to take a quick break right now. We'll come back on the other side and we'll begin our conversation with Kurt Haling from Alberts & Haling CPAs. You're listening to BizTalk and the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY. That's a good theme. I like that.
Just a few dollars more.
Yep. We're back this morning, and thanks for joining us. Our guest this morning is Kurt Haling. I'd first like to thank the sponsors who helps bring the show to you each weekend, Fox Communities Credit Union, Alberts & Haling CPAs, and Kurt is here this morning, Epiphany Law, Kevin Eisman and his team at the Business Law Boutique, Tuss House is an IT company that also sponsors BizTalk. We thank them for their support. eBiz Results, located in Oshkosh, who provides BizTalk with the website and the website maintenance. We thank Mike Pulvermacher and his team for the support and assistance they give us. And also a special thank you to the Business News, Jerry Mader and Larry Desch, who promote our program in their biweekly periodical. We want to thank them for the support, too.
And let's not forget the Fox Communities Credit Union.
We did mention them.
Did we mention them? I got to start paying attention more
today.
That
was the first one I mentioned.
Okay.
But they deserve a second repeat.
Okay.
So we'd like to introduce Kurt this morning. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning.
Thanks for being on the show this morning.
I was happy to be here.
And we're going to be talking about Obamacare, and I'd like to give out the phone number at the studio. The number is 281-1150 in Appleton, 281-1150. And if you're outside the Appleton area, you can reach us at 1-866-887-1150. Kurt, you were telling us in the pre-show conversation that you've learned some information about Obamacare and your practice is CPA, public accounting, and you have a number of clients in the Valley, individuals and businesses. What's your summary of what Obamacare is coming, what's going to do to us? And we'll be talking more about that till 10 o'clock.
Well, the issue of what's it going to do to us, there's going to be a lot of unforeseen repercussions from this. I mean, there's a lot of discussion about it, and to stay somewhat politically correct about it, that's as far as I'll go with that end
sure.
of it. But the one thing that I am finding is there's a lot of misinformation out there about it. There's a lot of disinformation. For instance, I regularly am talking to people, and they don't understand that that besides being a health care act, this is also a tax act.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think back to when this went through the Supreme Court, Judge Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, allowed it to go through based on the fact that it was a tax act, and he didn't feel that it was the Supreme Court's place to overturn a tax act, right, rightly or wrongly. But there are a number of tax implications through this. There's also a lot of misinformation out there, things that go through the Internet. I still have people that I talk to that think it's free health care.
Yeah.
And you know, that's myth number one. Mm-hmm. There were things going around on the Internet a while back about how now that this has passed, if you sell your house, the sale of your house is going to be taxable. 99.9% of house sales are not going to be taxed. You're still going to have the same tax effect on a house sale that you always had. The same rules apply. The only thing that changes is there's the potential for this Medicare surtax to kick in on top of it. We'll talk a little bit more about that and what that represents. But there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of things on the Internet that are half truths or misleading and maybe taking one piece of it and expanding it out into the whole general population.
One of the challenges I think every consumer faces in this country is the fact that the information coming out is not reliable because in most too many cases one political side is using it to maneuver to embarrass the other political side, and it's very, where do you go to get the right information? That's the one of the questions.
Well, and that's a very good question, and you know, from a professional standpoint, you know, we're trying to educate ourselves as much as we can through the seminars, the webinars, talking with people in the health insurance industry. For instance, you've had John Ulness on the show. I met with him recently. And quite honestly, the information that he was providing, it makes your head spin. Mm-hmm. But it comes at you from a different angle because this is such an all-encompassing act that affects not just the medical field, but it affects the tax field itself. Mm-hmm. And so that's why what we're focusing on is as much of the tax end as possible, but it does spill over.
We have a caller on the line. Good morning, Joe. You have a question for Kurt?
I do.
Okay, if you want to go ahead.
Should I be off the speaker?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, my comment is, because I get to make a comment. My name is Joe.
Yep.
And my dad always told me, actions speak louder than words.
Right.
And all we have is Barack Obama just talking. Okay, that's my comment.
Okay, well, any question attached to that, or was that just it?
No, I have a question.
Okay, because we'd prefer if you have a question that we can at least address.
Well, I could have formed that in a question if you wanted me to. but for Kurt, what do you think the future of Wisconsin municipal bonds are? Right now they're paying between 4.5% to 5.5%, but they keep calling them. What do you think?
Thanks, Joe.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kurt.
Hadn't really thought about that before the show, but bonds in general and municipal bonds in general are still going to stay a relatively safe investment unless, of course, you own Detroit bonds, in which case you've got a little bit of a problem. But I think Wisconsin's bonds are, number one, generally going to be safe. But I think you're going to see the old adage, as interest rates go up, bonds go down, and the interest rates are going to have to go up on those in order to stay competitive. But I think in the grand scheme of things, you know, the bonds themselves, especially the Wisconsin bonds, I think they're going to be safe. I don't think you're going to set the world on fire from up.
Okay.
From a return standpoint, though.
Yep. Okay. Well, thanks for the question, Joe. Thanks for calling in. Kurt, let's get back to Obamacare for a minute. You mentioned that there's a lot of misinformation out there, and we have to take a break in just a couple of minutes. But can you give us some idea of where can the consumer go? And there's not one place to get reliable information, but how does a consumer or a business owner process all this data and come to a good conclusion?
Well, I think you have to go to several sources, like you said, Tony. I mean, talk to your accountant and financial professionals. From the standpoint of what's affordable and what are the tax and financial implications, talk to a health insurance person as far as the coverage is available. And once you understand from the financial side of it what you can afford and what's going to make sense, try and fit that into what's going to make sense from the coverage standpoint with somebody who specializes in that end of it. The government has these people called navigators out there who can help you through the websites and get you the technical information. The good and the bad of that is they understand the program, they understand the rules and the government layout of it. But it's kind of like asking an IRS person for tax advice. They'll tell you the rules, but they won't tell you how to apply it or how to interpret it.
They don't want to understand your situation.
Quite frankly, they're trained not to stick their necks out too far for individual situations.
Right. Yeah. So then the answer is still to talk to somebody in the insurance field and the accounting field that you know and trust.
Multiple people, correct.
Multiple.
Yeah, and stay tuned, because I know that in the SCORE chapter we're thinking of putting together a seminar next year mm-hmm. on this very topic. And SCORE and a number of organizations around the Valley and around the state are putting on seminars either online or face-to-face so you can go and ask questions. But stay tuned and keep asking questions. You got to do that as a business owner.
And I think in addition to that, you know, talking about, and maybe this leads into the next topic a little bit, but there are a number of tax implications associated with this that are going to go through both the business owner and the individual. And, mm-hmm. and as a business owner, you know, obviously that crosses over to your own personal situation, but it also affects your employees as well. Things like the limits on flex spending accounts and what you can offer that way. That was one of the ways that they said that they're going to, quote unquote, pay for this act mm-hmm. Or some of these tax changes. So now there's a limitation on flex spending accounts where you can only put in $2,500 in your flex spending account. Mm-hmm. Well, that may seem like a lot, but if you think about, for instance, I had laser eye surgery a couple of years back. We put $4,000 for that year into our flex spending account knowing we were going to use it. Well, now you can only put $2,500, and that's going to have a ripple effect across those types of industries.
Limiting the savings account, but mm-hmm. having increasing costs is really contrary to each other.
It really is, and what that does is you've got to figure out, okay, how else am I going to pay for it? Right. And the other end of it is, it really, and this might be part of the political end of it, but it really takes the personal accountability out of it.
It does.
And puts it in the hands of someone else.
We're going to take our quick break right here. We'll be back on the other side. We'll continue our conversation with Curt Haling on Obamacare and some accounting stuff. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Money for nothing.
And we're back this morning at BizTalk. We're here with Curt Haling of Albertson Haling CPAs. We've been talking about the Obamacare and how that's going to impact business owners and consumers. We do have a couple of callers on the line. Good morning, Kathy. We'd like to take your question quick. Kathy?
I was wondering if you had the 800 number for calling for the affordable insurance on this Obamacare thing.
We don't
have so much trouble on the internet.
Yeah, we don't have it right now, but Randy's looking it up on the computer. So as soon as we get it, we'll give that number out to the audience.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Kathy. Good morning, Rudy. Rudy, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, Rudy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to this program, and it's very interesting, especially about Obamacare, which I think is all up in the air yet. I don't think anybody can really say exactly what's going to happen. But I'd like to confirm that statement by Curt about the accountants. I'd like to ask him if he thinks that staying close to the accountant and have him steer you through all the problems and questions that the ordinary businessman doesn't have a chance to think about, would that be very helpful to him?
Well, absolutely it would, because what it does is helps you kind of go through the maze of these things. And I've had some interesting conversations with clients already, just talking through some of the what I call the unintended consequences of this. And what I mean by that is I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about, well, where is this all going to lead? For instance, you've got a group of people out there that the only reason they're still working is because they need the health insurance, and so they're still working for somebody else. Now you've got, with this, you've got the marketplace open, the website open, where they can go to the website and get insurance instead of being covered through the employer's group. So, you know, they may have made their money already. They may scratch their head and say, well, why would I keep working? I can get my insurance through here. And so those people are going to be leaving the workforce, and they're going to need to be replaced. They're going to get replaced by 30-some things who, number one, might be cheaper, but number two, don't have that world experience. And so you're going to have those types of ramifications going on. And so, you know, those older people might come to the accountant and say, well, is there really a good reason for me to keep working at this point, you know, and what's my financial situation, and can I afford to quit, you know, and if I do quit, what adjustments do I need to make in my lifestyle? There's going to be a lot of unforeseen circumstances to this.
Well, thanks for the call, Rudy. Good question. Randy, do we have that phone number?
There's a couple of different numbers, but as far as getting information is on the application and so on, the number I have here is 1-800-318-2596. That's for general information on applying. Also, for those in small business, there is a small business information line, and that is at 1-800-706-7893. So those are a couple of the numbers. Again, I'm looking at these out at the healthcare.gov website.
Okay. Well, thanks, Randy. Thanks for looking those up. Folks can now call in and start that process for themselves. Kurt, getting back to the thing about the unintended consequences, one of the things we've heard about in the news recently is a lot of employers are converting full-time people to part-time status.
Correct.
And that has an impact, I mean, just a tidal wave impact on families around the country.
It's got a huge impact on families around the country, and so if... You know, the employers are making their choices as far as who they're going to cover, if they're going to cover anybody, or if they're going to send everybody off to the marketplaces, and if they, or if they're going to downsize, or not necessarily downsize. Well, they may downsize number wise, but they may have larger numbers with fewer hours, and so these families are going to be affected. And so, you know, you may have a husband and wife, each with two primary employers, working 20 hours a week for each, for instance.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have these family dynamics that are going to change quite a bit too. You know, where are you working on which day, and who's working where, and those sorts of dynamics that you've never had to think about before.
You might have to work four jobs as a couple rather than two just to get your 40 hours in.
Correct.
And that's going to complicate family life and scheduling and all that other things, all this stuff that goes on.
Right. There's all these consequences that are coming as part of the ripple effect of this.
Now, in terms of other unintended consequences, do you foresee anything? In like your client base, have any of your clients done anything to deal with this Obamacare yet?
I think they're still swimming through it. You know, one of the things that, you know, and this kind of goes back to the misinformation end of it, you heard for a while that, well, they have to cover you, so why would I bother buying insurance until something happens? You know, one of the other things that's out there is, so that's really a myth, too, because you have an open enrollment period from October through December, and that's going to be an annual event. So if something happens to you, for instance, in April, and you're not covered, you don't have insurance at that point. You can't go the next day and say, I need insurance. That's not going to work.
Until October.
Until October.
And that's enrollment period.
And at that point, you know, the train has left the station. You've already got that injury, and you've already incurred those medical expenses. It's just like it is in current day. If you have no insurance, you may be headed for bankruptcy.
I'd like to give out the phone numbers again if you have a question for Kurt. In Appleton, you can reach us at 281-1150, 281-1150. And outside the Appleton area, you can call us at 1-866-887-1150.
Okay. Kurt, another question, again, some of the misinformation and things we're talking about, is how the business side, you mentioned a little bit about the number of hours that you work, but the size of the businesses that are affected. How big do you have to be, a little guy? What's the effects on this?
Well, that's a good question, because we've heard about the employer mandate of those with more than 50 employees having to cover having to cover their employees, and that's true. That got pushed off for another year. So the small business owner, the guy who's maybe got 10 employees, might say, well, none of this affects me. And that's not necessarily true either, because there is this animal out there called the SHOP, which is the small business health insurance option. And that's out there. And where that ties in is there's a small business health insurance credit out there. It doesn't apply to every small business. There's probably about 2% that really are able to make use of it. But if you want to be able to continue obtaining that credit going forward, you're going to have to use a SHOP plan. That's part of the mandate.
Yeah, and that was one of those things that was out on that website that I was just looking at is an explanation of that plan.
Right. And, of course, the SHOP website isn't working either, just like the main website
side.
Isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But
we have a couple of callers on the line. Good morning, Mike. You have a question for Kurt?
Yeah, Kurt, I got a question for you. I'm looking at starting a business, and I need to finance it. I've got a fairly substantial 401k, about $130,000. I was wondering if it's feasible to borrow against that 401k to bankroll my business.
I'll give you the standard answer, the standard accountant answer. It depends, but I will tell you that is one of the, as far as financing a business and getting that money out of that 401k, it is probably one of the most expensive ways to finance your business. There's a whole lot better ways to get the money to get your business going than taking it out of your 401k or your IRA.
Mike, I'd like to suggest that if you would contact the SCORE office at 734-7101 and ask for me, Tony Bush. There is a program out there that for the right people it can work, but it's got to be the right situation. So I can talk to you more about that one-on-one, but we don't want to cover that on the air.
Okay, very good. Can you give me your phone number one more time?
Sure, it's 734-7101. That's the chamber number. That's the SCORE's phone number. And just ask for me, and then I'll get in touch with you, and we can meet and talk about that. But that's going to be a topic of conversation coming up next year, too.
Yeah.
Very good. I appreciate your help.
You have to be very careful of the tax consequences and all the rest of something like that.
Good morning, Bob. You have a question for Kurt?
Hello.
Yes, Bob. Go ahead.
I have a question. I own a small temporary help company, a small staffing company. And, you know, we have a ton of employees, most of which, you know, are what I used to consider part-time people, but we do have people that are going to fall under that classification for Obamacare, but nobody seems to have any answers how that's going to affect us, because obviously we can't pay for 300-400 people that we have, you know, working for us, and we can't take the penalties, so what happens?
Right. Good question. Kurt?
Intuitively, and I'm not, don't take this as gospel, but intuitively, what I think is going to happen is if they're on your payroll, they're considered your employees, and you're going to end up having to have them covered. Now, by having them covered, obviously there's some ways that you can do that. And keep in mind, you have to cover at least half of the individual. You don't have to cover the whole family. They can pay for the rest of that, but intuitively that tells me that you're going to have to cover that, and I think that's one of the things we were talking about, unintended consequences. I think you're going to end up with companies, whether they be staffing companies or employee leasing companies or something to that effect, that will take on that burden for a fee to the business owner. They'll take on that fee. They'll wade through the rules and they'll do the coverage. And then offer these employees out as contracted employees through their staffing company and charge the business owner a fee, and then the business owner doesn't have to worry about it.
I think that's a wonderful idea. However, I think the reality of that kind of a situation happening is almost zero. People are not going to want to do that because it's very expensive. I mean,
it is expensive.
Very, very expensive. And how do you ration it out? How do you, you know, assign a value to a person or, you know, or group of people that are working for a different company? I just don't understand. I mean, and again, if they force the penalty on us, we're out of business.
Right. And there are actually employee leasing companies down in Florida that are looking at going this next step. So it is one of these things, and being in the Midwest, we, you know, typically these things start on the coast and work their way to the Midwest, but that is actually, the ball is actually starting to roll on that a little bit.
I understand that, but again, when you take an employee leasing company, you take company ABC and you lease them all their employees, and in effect they're full-time employees. We don't do that. They might work here for one company for 3 weeks. They might work at another one for 6 weeks. How do you do that? I mean, I don't see any way that's feasible, because I was told by several different people several different things. Some said, no, it only covers, you know, the core employees, which are the staff. Other people said, no, it covers everybody. Nobody seems to know.
And quite honestly, off the top of my head, I don't know the answer to that either. I'm just going off what intuitively I would expect to see.
Well, again, our industry comprises probably 20 to 25% of, you know, the economy.
Right.
And if they can't put us out of business.
Right. Bob, that's a tough question, and unfortunately, we don't have an answer right now, but want to thank you for calling in and raising that question for the listening audience and making us aware of another unintended consequence of the Obamacare issue. And like you, so many business people are struggling with, how do they get through this? What's the next step? What do I do what's right for my employees? What do I do what's right for my customers, my business? Because too many businesses are going to fail if there aren't some answers coming forthcoming pretty quickly in time to help business owners deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt, I think that's to your point, is you met with John Ulnes, who's a very knowledgeable person on this topic. And there are others out there, but it makes your head spin when you're going through this topic.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, one of the programs I attended on this also was through one of the large insurance agencies in the area here, who does, specializes in business health insurance. And I would again suggest that for some of those questions like this that are much more technical, a good resource would be a very, one of the larger insurance agencies that deal in business health.
You know, what's really sad is Bob's situation. He's been in business for a while. I don't know who Bob is, but it sounded like he's a very sincere and very hardworking guy. He enjoys what he does, and he's putting people to work, and he's meeting a value. He's meeting a need in the business community, and he's rolling along doing his job. And then all of a sudden, a law changes, and now he's facing extinction like all of the people in his industry. A lot of people are facing that extinction. The difficult part here is dealing with it, not knowing what's coming, and then fearing that if something doesn't happen by a certain date, I'm going to be subject to a fine. Well, we've been hearing that in the news for the website where consumers are supposed to call in and sign up. And if they're not signed up by a certain date, they're subject to a fine, but the system's not working. It's just really kind of a mess, isn't it?
It really is. And, we could go on about the system not working and the website not working and what happens if you're not able to get signed up in time and are they going to extend it. And there's a lot of speculation that we could do on that.
But the underlying program does not work.
The underlying website isn't working, and the administration of the program so far is, on a scale of 1 to 10 is about a negative 4. And so what that does to the person who's a business owner is says, well, okay, now how am I supposed to run my business? And I think that's why you saw a lot of these business owners, you hear about companies hoarding cash, or whether they be big companies or small companies, they're not going out and spending money on new equipment a lot of times or expanding their workforce because of these issues, because they don't know what the effects of this is all going to be. And until that becomes a little bit more clear, you're going to have these companies just pulling in the reins as much as possible.
Aren't they even going to go overseas to hire people, have foreign employees who aren't subject to the U.S. employee
health insurance
program? That's going to drive jobs out of our country.
And the big companies can do that. And the big companies have legal forces that can go through and wade through all this stuff. The average small business owner's got half a dozen employees. He's got to scratch his head and say, how does this affect me? And Randy, you and I were talking about, there's small business owners that say, well, I don't have 50 employees. This doesn't affect me. Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where going through and at least, sitting down, taking a look at, for instance, does one of the shop programs make more sense for my employees as opposed to having the regular coverage?
We're gonna have to take our break right now, Kurt. We'll come back on the other side and pick that up.
Okay.
You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of
And welcome back to the final segment of Biz Talk. We're here this morning with Curt Hayling talking about Obamacare. We've had several calls on it. But in the interest of helping the audience, Curt, how can folks contact you outside the show so they can find out more about this topic?
They can give us a call at our Fox Valley office is 920-886-2241. Green Bay is 920-405-8549.
I can't listen that fast. What was that phone number again in Appleton?
886-2241.
Okay.
And Green Bay 405-8549.
8549.
Yeah.
And what's your website?
Alberts-Hayling-CPAs.com. Alberts-Hayling-CPAs.com.
Dash CPAs?
Yes.
Okay. So two dashes in there.
Right.
Alberts-Hayling-CPAs with dashes.
Correct.
.com. Well, you're becoming an authority on the topic, Curt, and if people have a moment in the next week or two, they should give you a call and follow up with some questions. I think you'd be able to help them with some of those questions.
Yeah, and I don't feel like an authority myself because every time I turn around, I'm finding out something new about it.
So is everybody, but we're evolving as we go.
Right.
Randy, you had a question.
I just wanted to follow up. We had started kind of alluding to it a little bit. You know, we were talking about these unintended consequences that people are finding, and one of the ones that I've heard a lot about is the loss of family health care coverage through the employers. What is this doing?
Well, here's what's happening with that is, and I'll give you an example that happened within our firm with my partner Jim Alberts up in Green Bay. His wife worked for a large employer up there, and about a year ago, they got a letter saying that if your spouse has access to a plan, then that company would no longer cover them under a family plan. They would cover the kids, but they wouldn't cover the spouse. And what that did was, Jim's now on our firm's plan, which is fine. But what that does is that says, okay, now that spouse has got to go out and get their own coverage. You may not, and it may be a totally different doctor that they've been going to, totally different plan,
mm-hmm.
Who knows? So the old concept of, well, if you like your plan, you can keep it. Well, not really.
Yeah.
If you like your doctor, you can keep them. Well, not really.
Yeah.
So in what this also does is, when you look at how that's phrased, if the spouse has access to a plan, well, as soon as the website opens up for the Affordable Care Act, as soon as they can go through it, they have access to a plan.
I was going to ask you what access is.
That's access.
But if a spouse, like in your partner's case, she has access to health insurance in her company, but she declines to take it. She just doesn't want to take it. And then Jim is covered in your firm's plan. How far do they take the word access?
That's a really good question.
You know, it's crazy that the interpretation is left to someone else.
Right.
It's no longer the individual's choice, which is to your point, Randy.
Right.
The family
right.
loses coverage.
Yeah, and like I said, totally unintended consequence. And in trying to get answers to some of this stuff, the feeling that everybody has is that it's still so nebulous. It's like grabbing Jell-O.
And the other thing that happens, and to really make this even more complicated, is some of these credits that are out there that help offset the cost increases are based on income, and the income for health insurance purposes is different than your income for tax purposes.
Right.
So you have two different sets of income. What's considered a dependent for tax purposes is different than a dependent for health care purposes, because now you've got coverage up till age 27. If for an individual, their kid's covered up till age 18 or 23 if they're in college. So you've got two different sets of who's a dependent. So now when you have child support issues, you have that issue of covering that child until age 27 for health insurance purposes.
Okay, so the answer is still the same. Before you jump, before you decide what you're going to do, get some help from a professional who at least can, you know, slow down some of the process and make sure you get some right answers.
At least one professional and probably a network of professionals, a health insurance person, a financial and an accounting person.
Now, once again, Curt, at a listening pace. What's your phone number? So if folks have a question, they can give you a call and find out what's going on.
Yeah, the Valley is 920-886-2241.
886-2241.
Correct.
Okay.
And the Green Bay is 405-8549.
Alberts-Hailing-CPAs.com.
Yep.
Good. Every weekend we ask our guests to leave a biz tip, and man, I can imagine what the biz tip's going to be this morning. But before I ask that, do you have any recommended places where people can go to learn about that's a reliable source of information? Have you come across any places?
Well, there's, as far as places, there's some individuals that I've worked with that I'd be happy to pass some names along to those who are interested. You know, we mentioned John Nolness, who's been on the show, for instance. Very knowledgeable person. He's actually read the whole thing, believe it or not.
More than once.
It has way too much time on his hands, apparently.
Yeah.
And a lot of coffee.
But there's no website you know of that we can go get a reliable direction.
Not that I have found that that's all encompassing, but it's probably because it's such an all encompassing.
Okay.
Right. Such
What's
an
your biz
plan.
Tip, Kurt?
Get educated on this and talk to more than one people and don't believe everything you read.
Okay.
Yep. And be careful what you apply for. Like Randy said, don't make any rash decisions on it.
Exactly.
And, Randy, and understand too that you know your best friend may not be an expert in this also, because it is so highly charged, it is so highly political. You really have to talk to professionals.
It's not something you can figure out while you're sitting at the bar.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. And it does take a lot of conversation. Randy, next week we have a Badger bump on
Correct.
The program.
Right.
We will not be on the air. The Badgers start early. The week after that, on November 9th, our guest is going to be Kyle Fritz of Bagelicious. He's going to be on telling us about his business and how
right.
to get started.
Yeah, how to start from a little hot dog stand to having your own brick-and-mortar shop.
So that's growing your business.
Right.
And I think in closing, I'd like to ask Kurt one more question. Once again, Kurt, what's your phone number? How do people get a hold of you?
The number in the Valley, 886-2241. Green Bay, 405-8549. The website, alberts-hailing-cpas.com.
Thanks, Kurt. Thank you very much for coming
Thanks
in this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. It's a very sensitive topic. It's a topic that creates a lot of anxiety in people. They got to figure out what's going on.
They didn't have to bleep me.
Yeah. You did a good job. Well, Randy, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Right.
Thank you very much for listening this morning. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.